Good morning. This is Linda Morris, and today the subject is an interesting subject that I've been asked many times about, and that is, what is it about soy protein that is not good for us? Why do we want to avoid it? And so I had to do some research. I had some ideas because I was in a class with one of my downline leaders that was quite proficient about the dangers of soy. And she actually, Nourishing Traditions cookbook by Sally Fallon. It's the cookbook that challenges politically correct nutrition and the diet dictocrats. So she had poster boards, and she actually did talks about why you really want to avoid giving your children, especially soy. So I did some research this morning because it came up again this week. And I have a couple of great sources here that I'm going to just read from. One starts out, "Are you confused about soy? There is so much conflicting information floating around about soy. Some tout it as the ultimate health food, while others claim it can cause hormone imbalance or even breast cancer. While there are still more questions than answers to be found about soy, there are some things we do know. I'm hoping to give you some real answers. First, what exactly is soy? Well, I can tell you, growing up in Iowa, it's a soybean, and they have huge soybean crops where I grew up, and a lot of the farmers were changing to soybean because it was an easier crop to grow, and it was actually returning more money than a lot of the other, you know, like corn. It was not as profitable. Soybeans are legumes, I can never pronounce that word, native to Eastern Asia. All Asian cuisines that use soybeans ferment the beans before cooking and consuming them. There it is, common knowledge that soy is poisonous and that the fermentation process removes the poison." This is like the best sentence I'm going to say today. Let me read it again. "All Asian cuisines that use soybeans ferment the beans before cooking and consuming them. There it is, common knowledge that soy is poisonous and that the fermentation process removes the poison. The incredibly high demand for soy started with the invention of vegetable oil and trans fat and led to the advent of industrialized genetically modified production. And as the story goes, for most industrialized food, there is a byproduct. With all the oil extracted, the food manufacturers were left with a lot of soy protein that they started adding to processed foods. So while Asian cultures eat only whole and fermented soybean products, we in the Western world tend to split the beans into two different products, soybean oil and soy protein, often called soy protein isolate. Soy protein concentrate, textured vegetable protein, or hydrolyzed vegetable protein. One or both of these food-like substances are pretty much found in all processed and fast foods." In case you missed that sentence, they put it in everything. Everything that's processed, you're going to find it has soy in. It's actually one of the top three allergens here in North America. "For this precise reason, we in the West surprisingly eat more soy than people in Asia. Dr. Joseph Hiblin at the National Institute of Health estimates that soybeans, usually in the form of oil, account for an astonishing 10% of our total calories in the United States." CNN was that source. Now, that's a lot. If you want to know more about soy, Wikipedia has a great entry as well. What is the problem with soy? Aluminum. The highly industrialized processing of soy requires acid washing in aluminum tanks. The aluminum then leaches into the final soy products that are sold for human consumption. We know that aluminum is toxic to our nervous system and kidneys. So the rule is simply to avoid all processed soy. That includes isolated soy proteins, soybean oil, and any processed and fast food that contains soy, almost all. Environmental impact. A typical misunderstanding is that choosing soy instead of animal foods is a more sustainable and environmentally friendly protein option. But in fact, the industrialization of soy production has led to genetic modification of the crops, unhealthy to both humans, animals, and normal plants that grow nearby. Deforestation and a need for large amounts of pesticides. All that on top of the impact from processing, packaging, and transportation of all the different soy products. You are better off eating a locally farmed egg bought at the farmer's market. Anti-nutrients. Soy contains some well-known anti-nutrients. phytase enzyme inhibitors and goitrogens. Although all plants contain some anti-nutrients in order to protect themselves and reproduce, soy is by far the worst. Phytates bind to minerals in our digestive tract and can block absorption. The enzyme inhibitors make the unfermented soybeans very difficult to digest, and goitrogens can block the production of thyroid hormone, thyroid imbalance. There have been several studies linked even moderate soy consumption to thyroid disorders, which is a very common problem, especially amongst women today. The goitrogens found in soy are to blame. These are compounds known to make it more difficult for the thyroid gland to create its hormones, breast cancer risk. A few studies do suggest that soy isoflavones could benefit women by reducing their breast cancer risk, but numerous other studies also link soy, especially soybean oil due to its high omega-6 content, to breast cell proliferation, which is a well-known marker of breast cancer risk. Very opposing findings indeed. Until we find more, I'd be cautious of consuming soy as a health food. Male fertility and health. I remember reading once how 2 glasses of soy milk equals the same amount of estrogen in the form of phytoestrogen as 1 birth control pill. It totally stunned me. I know so many people sipping away on their soy lattes thinking it is a healthier choice that's better for their bodies. At the same time, there are several studies that point to soy actually reducing the risk of prostate cancer. Again, the data is not conclusive enough, and I would suggest being cautious in ridding yourself of that soy latte habit. Allergies on the rise. Soy allergy and intolerance is on the rise, probably due to both GMO and overconsumption. For some very sensitive people, the allergy even includes all meat, poultry, fish, dairy, and eggs from animals consuming soy feed. GMO soy in animal feed is a huge issue. Animals, just like us humans, are not meant to consume large amounts of unfermented soy. In addition, feeding these indigestible foods, grains and soy, to animals leads to an increased need for antibiotics. Now for some good news. It is not all bad. Traditionally prepared whole soy foods are both delicious and nutritious. Fermented soy products are the best, and they even provide us with beneficial probiotics. The fermentation process reduces the levels of dangerous anti-nutrients mentioned above. Choose organic and fermented soy exclusively. Make a point of reading labels and asking questions. Look for traditionally prepared and unpasteurized soy sauce such as Nama Shoyu. Yes, that's spelled N-A-M-A-S-H-O-Y-U. Drink miso soup for its probiotic benefits. Make sure not to boil the miso or use boiling water. It will kill the good bacteria. Tempeh and natto are also fermented soy products that have been used for centuries in Asian cultures. Tofu and edamame is okay now and then if you tolerate it well. Traditionally, tofu and soy milk products were both fermented, but nowadays, the milk and tofu you find in your local supermarket or health food store are unfortunately not fermented. Try to mix up your protein sources and dairy alternatives. There are so many great nut and seed milks out there these days. Commit to making a large portion of your food from scratch. When you cook, you can also control the quality of the ingredients. This allows you the option to use all organic ingredients. So let me go over to Dr. Marcola. He has a lot of really great information on his website. So he has another really long article that actually was really good, but I'm just going to do the highlights so you can go check it out yourself. And it is called Soy. This miracle health food has been linked to brain damage and breast cancer. Soy at a glance. Many health experts in the media tout unfermented soy foods, tofu, soy milk, soy cheese, etc., as being good for you. But in actuality, the risk of consuming them far outweighs the benefits. Soy has many potent hormones that can wreak havoc with your health. Women are particularly vulnerable to soy phytoestrogens and isoflavones, as they are potent goitrogens, leading to impaired thyroid health, fatigue, and infertility. Additionally, thousands of studies link unfermented soy to malnutrition, digestive distress, immune system breakdown, cognitive decline, reproductive disorders, cancer, and heart disease. Now, I do want to highlight that one because a friend of mine that is a microscopist, I had several friends that he was checking their live blood. And they were on the original eating plans product that we teach. And it was soy-based, and it also had sucralose, which is a whole another day of conversation. I thought I'd do them both today, but there's so much on soy, I don't think I'll get to it. He found that checking their blood, and they were doing like three of these packets a day, they were malnourished. Their body was not absorbing or processing this soy drink at all, this soy protein drink at all. And he highly recommended, he's like, you might be losing weight, but you're malnourished. And these women, you know, they were not slim by any means, but they were malnourished because they were, their bodies were not using that soy protein. Probably because they weren't taking digestive enzymes or it just was not digestible. So that is another scary thought. I was also, wow, there was so much great information here, but there was something about, and we really wanted to talk about, is the genetics, because they found that it gets into your DNA, and it can still be re-released years later. So it's not just an immediate thing that you need to cut out. You need to cut it out. Oh, and you need to detox your colon and your gastrointestinal tract because it can stay in your gastrointestinal tract and continue to cause fertility problems for your children. This unfermented soy. I will find that. I'll just email you guys the whole article about it. How's that sound? And that way you can just read it all at your leisure. But let me go back up here. Okay, 91% of the soy grown in the United States is genetically engineered to impart resistance to the toxic herbicide Roundup, with which it is heavily sprayed. Some of the agents in soy that may cause health problems include anti-nutrients that interfere with the enzymes you need to digest protein. Hemagglutinin, which causes your blood cells to clump together, and goitrogens, which can impair your thyroid function. Phytic acid, aluminum, and high levels of manganese are also often present. Yes, but microscopists also, all of these individuals that were taking this soy sucralose protein powder, their blood was all clumped together, sticky blood. There was no oxygenation. If you don't have oxygenation in the middle of your blood cells, that means you don't have life. So, like, having it all stick together is reducing your life activity. That's very bad. You should never feed your baby soy-based formula. Doing so gives him an equivalent of 5 birth control You should never feed your baby soy-based formula. Doing so gives him an equivalent of 5 birth control pills worth of estrogen every day. So there is a lot of information on soy and why you do not want to have the unfermented soy. So, yeah, that means you can have fermented whole soy. You just need to stay away from the, like, the ones that are quick created. So, does anybody have anything they would like to add to this conversation? Please unmute yourself. It is *6. And while you guys talk, I will find that other part I wanted to read to you in this long article.
Hey, I just want to underline that the miso soup. Actually, from soy, I believe it's soy.
Yeah,
actually
it is.
It reduces breast cancer because of the way it's processed and stuff. And so that was one of my main staples. I had to have it every day. I could have it twice a day, but I had to have it at least once a day on my plan when I was going through my rigorous diet. So that's pretty, you know, I just wanted to underline that because, you know, we sometimes half listen or whatever, but that was
a
wonderful
story. Yeah, well,
it's
actually a probiotic. That's what I just read that it, in here in this article, that it is a probiotic. Miso soup absolutely is good.
Mm-hmm.
Linda, when was that article written?
This one is 2010. Let's Let's see, the other one was 2012.
Yeah, I was thinking when you said 91% genetically modified, I think that's gone up since then.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And I was thinking of my thyroid and thinking of what have I eaten in the past that had soy. And almost everything does have soy. Now that I look at it, there's like mayonnaise that I won't eat because it has soy oil. It's in everything. It's so pervasive.
And it's hidden in everything else.
Even in tuna fish.
Awesome. Really?
It's in tuna fish?
What is that doing in tuna fish? Come on.
It's like, why is there sugar and salt, right? Regular salt.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's funny because my son's 34, but when he was a baby, he had, you know, he just couldn't handle the formula when we were switching him over. And so they put him on soy. It was an isoflavin type of soy. And I was like, it's Isomac or whatever that one is. And it's still out there.
Yes, it
on
is.
On the market. If the baby doesn't do, okay, it's projectile vomiting. If they just like throw up their food right away, then they give them this other formula to help it keep it down, but God bless them that they're not even digesting it or even getting nourished.
My son had that issue too. He couldn't eat until he was 3 years old. His adenoids and his tonsils were huge. And I had a really hard time finding him something that he could eat. I finally got to goat's milk, and that was the thing he had for the first 3 years of his life. So we would look for rice milk. I did evaporated milk because that's what we did in South America. We had cows there then, and they're not genetically modified, so he could have regular milk. My other son could, but it was very difficult to find him something that he could tolerate without vomiting it.
Amazing. Well, and then the thing about that some is good, I think I want to underline that.
Okay, like, I can underline that for you, Barbara.
Thank you.
What soy products are good for you? I want to be clear that I'm not opposed to all soy. Soy can be incredibly helpful, but only if it is organic and properly fermented. After a long fermentation process, the phytate and anti-nutrient levels of soybeans are reduced. Remember, if you don't have it, if you're not eating fermented soybeans, it's poison. So it needs to be fermented.
But you did say edamame was good. I thought I heard you say edamame
on occasion. Yeah, actually said on occasion. After a long fermentation process, the phytate and anti-nutrient levels of soybeans are reduced, and their beneficial properties become available to your digestive system. You may have heard that Japanese people live longer and have lower rates of cancer than Americans because they eat so much soy, but it's primarily fermented soy that they consume, and it's always been that way. Fermented soy products are the only ones I recommend consuming. These are primarily fermented soy products you'll find. Tempeh, a fermented soybean cake with a firm texture and a nutty mushroom-like flavor. Miso, a fermented soybean paste with a salty, buttery texture, commonly used in miso soup. Natto, fermented soybeans with a sticky texture and a strong cheese-like flavor. Soy sauce, which is traditionally made by fermenting soybeans, salt, and enzymes. Be wary because many varieties on the market today are made artificially using a chemical process. Please note that tofu is not on this list. Tofu is not fermented, so it is not among the soy foods I recommend. I really want to go back to where it talks about the DNA of hay. Here we go. 91% of soy grown in the U.S. is genetically modified GM. The genetic modification is done to impart resistance to the toxic herbicide Roundup. While this is meant to increase farming efficiency and provide you with less expensive soy, the downside is that your soy is loaded with this toxic pesticide. The plants also contain genes from bacteria that produce a protein that has never been part of the human food supply. And that's important. GM soy has been linked to an increase in allergies. Disturbingly, the only published human feeding study on GM foods ever conducted verified that the gene inserted into GM soy transfers into the DNA of our gut bacteria and continues to function. This means that years after you stop eating GM soy, you may still have a potentially allergic protein continuously being produced in your intestines. Even more frightening is the potential for GM soy to cause infertility in future generations, which has been evidenced by recent Russian research. Wow.
Wow.
Then, okay, here's another thing. Another unfortunate fact is that 80% of the world's soy is used in farm animal feed, which is why soy production is contributing to deforestation. Some soy propagandists have suggested that the solution to this for all of us to become vegetarians, a reckless recommendation rooted in total ignorance about nutrition, whereas a far better solution is a major overhaul in how farm animals are fed and raised.
Wow.
Very interesting stuff, mm-hmm. huh?
I did want to underline, I've got tempeh here, and I pulled it out of my freezer. It's not something you would eat on the plan, I don't believe, because where are my ten carbohydrates and 2.5 servings. So it's like a little slab. What would it be?
What's the protein on it?
16 grams of protein. There's three servings. It's about a quarter inch thick. It looks like a little slab of, it could be a slab of meat, but it's not. It's like grain. And I cut it long and thin, and I cook it just like meat. Now with the butter and everything, I put that, or I put the oil.
What's it taste like?
It tastes like whatever you cook it in.
Oh.
It
tastes like butter?
No. I would do it with soy. It would taste like soy. I don't have anything that tastes like meat anymore, but if you did sauteed onions, and put that in there. So I just brown it on either side. It's a texture. It's got like a hearty grain to it.
Okay.
So it's like a great veggie burger. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
A thicker veggie burger. And so I would say, a possible thing for Thanksgiving anyway, a phase two that you could put it in there and have it, and then take the leftovers and use it in your salad the next day and things like that. So, but it is hearty, and it's made with brown rice, and it's this one happens to be an organic one. But
yeah,
it
I've seen
fermented.
It at the grocery store. I just never bought it. I didn't know what to do with it.
Oh, you put it in. Okay, Heather, this is for you. You put it in a skillet. And I put the ghee in there now. I used to put coconut oil or, one of the good oils in there. And I cut it with the spatula. Just cut, little less than an inch wide. So it'll be long and thin. And I just cut it like that. And then I cook it that way because it's easier. Once you cube it, then you're flipping all the cubes, and that's like takes you forever. But if you just keep it long and thin, you can grill it and brown it, and I put some soy sauce or some tempeh on it, and then I serve it with some of the miso paste, which is like a little condiment, or mustard, so it acts like a meat, tastes like a meat.
Cool.
Well, it doesn't taste like a meat, but it acts like a meat.
There you go, a recipe.